Hey everyone, welcome to episode 54 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I want to tell you guys about Up for Probiotics, Up for sponsors, my show. So let's show my sponsor a little bit of love. What do you say? Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up for Probiotics image, picture, whatever you prefer, click on that and it'll take you right to Up for where you can learn more about their probiotics supplements. Up for has been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. They have a shelf-stable formula. There's no need to refrigerate it. They come in a chewable powder and capsules, so it's easy for anybody to take however you prefer to take it. They also offer these probiotics for different age ranges, from kids cubes all the way up to senior citizen. Channing has tried the kids cubes and they have worked wonders on some of her digestive issues. I know for me, when I take my probiotics, I feel healthier, I feel lighter, and I feel more regular, if you know what I'm saying. And I think you do. Go right now to up4probiotics.com to check it out. Or you can also find them in your local Target store, you guys. How easy is that? You can find them in the vitamin section at Target and the probiotics, immunity support, and essentials area. Go right now. Check it out. Up4probiotics. They've been creating a healthier inside since 1979.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a Crude Prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey guys, it's Heather Brooker, if you're nasty. I don't know why I felt like I needed a little Jen Jackson throwback there, but I did embrace it. Love it. You're welcome for it. I have a great show, and I know I say that every week because I do. Welcome to the show where I say the word interesting 15 times in this interview. My guest today is Katie Barker. Katie is an executive vice president for publicity at CBS Television. That's right. She's a BDD, a big damn deal. But what's great about this interview is it truly was interesting. Like, I'm having a hard time even speaking right now because you can hear me in the background going, no way. She's talking about when actors need a publicist and when they don't need a publicist, when actors, what it's like going down the red carpet, how publicists are involved now in the casting process, which is something I don't think a lot of actors are aware of. And just really interesting perspective on a side of the business that I don't think a lot of actors are really keen on. I think they think, oh, I need a publicist. I have a, you know, short film, or I want to help promote something, which is great, you know. But what Katie does and her level of publicity for CBS Television is something different, and it's a very unique skill. And she's also a mom, you guys, a mom of two young girls, and she is crushing it. So I'm very excited to share that interview with Katie with you. Really quickly, I want to do a little business. I want to say hello to a few new people that we've got over on Facebook. Motherhood in Hollywood is on Facebook. If you haven't, I'm not drunk, I swear. If you haven't clicked like yet on my Facebook page, please do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to say hi to Kathleen Quigley Weigel. I hope I'm saying your name right. Susan East, Jackie Stevens, Melanie Clardy. Thank you guys so much for finding Motherhood in Hollywood and clicking like on my Facebook page. I put a lot of fun videos and things like that up there. Also on Twitter at MIH Podcast. This week has been an interesting week for me in terms of acting stuff, just because I had a couple of really big commercial auditions, and I got callbacks for both of them, which was great. And if if you've listened to the show at all, you know, I don't really talk about commercial auditions that much because I don't really get commercial auditions that much. It's kind of funny because people always say, oh, you look like you should do commercials, but I don't know what it is about my face, but nobody Nobody's interested. Anyway, so I had a couple of great commercial opportunities this week. They didn't work out. And then I got some great news about an event coming up that I get to go to. I'm not going to tell you yet. You'll have to watch for me, my Facebook page or my tweeting about it. And I got the opportunity to sing on a new Disney pilot presentation. Let me make sure I clarify that. It was a pilot presentation. Everyone calm down. But it was for an animated thing. So it's been a week of like ups and downs. And, you know, there was one day that I knew I couldn't get everything in. And I wasn't going to be able to get everything in that I needed to get done and still take care of Channing. And there's no worse feeling in the world as a mom when you're late picking your child up. I'm sure there's, you know, terrible feelings. Don't everyone get mad, but I was late picking her up from preschool by like 3 hours. She was the only kid left there. She looked so sad by herself in the room. I was stuck in some horrendous traffic coming back from Santa Monica because that seems to be where everybody wants to audition. And I just felt terrible. Like I'm failing at my auditions. I'm failing at parenting. You know, my poor kid is here all by herself. And the teacher was really nice about it. I was like, it's okay, you know. And I just like burst into tears in the car because I was like, I don't know how much longer I can do this juggling act between all of the things that I want to do as an actress, all the things I want to do as a writer, for, you know, and for the podcast, and then also balancing my time with Channing and making sure I'm being a good mom and being present with her. It's a lot. I've taken on a lot more than I probably can handle. So anyway, I'm just venting a little bit because I hope I'm not the only one who feels this way. Sometimes you just feel like it's an insurmountable odds being in Hollywood and being in the entertainment business. But anyway, hey, you know what? Feels good to talk about it. Thanks, guys. Feels good to let it out. I do appreciate all of the nice, encouraging things everybody put on my Instagram and on my Facebook about it. And I got some really great text from some friends of mine who are very supportive. So thank you guys so much for doing that. You have no idea how much it means as a mom to hear other people say, no, you're doing a great job. Like, hang in there. And that's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to hang in there. Damn it, because I've got dreams. Dreams, damn it. All right, so that's pretty much it. I'm excited for the movie Bad Moms that's coming out. Moms, are you guys looking forward to that? Are you guys going to go see it? Are you mad that it was written by two dudes? I'd love to hear from you and let me know what you guys think about that. I want to take Channing to go see Ghostbusters next week, but I don't know if it's if there's going to be a lot of swears, you know, or if it's going to be inappropriate. If it's like the first one, she loves it. My three-year-old loves Ghostbusters. I know that's weird, but she's into it and she totally loves it. So I don't know. I may go take her to see Ghostbusters. A lot of great movies out right now. I personally am feeling a little withdrawal from Game of Thrones and from Outlander. Ugh, I can't wait another like year for Outlander and another like year and a half for Game of Thrones to come back. I just can't. I can't do it. I need these people to step up the production schedule. We fans, we got needs. Speaking of fans, I'm going to be going to Comic-Con next week. What? I'm so excited. I'm going to totally let my geek flag fly with my girls from Booze and Phasers, the other podcast that I do all about Star Trek. We're totally going to get nerdy. We're going to wear nerd shirts and we're going to talk about all things geek. And I can't wait to do it. So be on the lookout for my updates and fun things from there. And if you guys are there, tweet me and send me your pictures. I'd love to see them. If anybody gets to go to Comic-Con, or if you're a geek mom like me and you're into that, I'd love to see your pics, mans. Okay, guys. So that's it for my mommy monologue. I'm going to wrap it up because I'm dying for you to hear this interview from Katie Barker. She is the Executive Vice President for Publicity at CBS Television Network. Here you go. I agree with you. I am so intimidated by karaoke out here, but I love it.
I like to watch it.
Really?
But I like to do it like in other cities. Like if we are on vacation somewhere and they have karaoke, I'm like, let's do karaoke.
Yeah.
Or a dive bar here. But most places that you go here, I feel like everyone you're going up against is like, there might be a casting director in the audience.
That's so true. Like, what's that place in Burbank? Is it Sardo's?
I think it's Sardo's.
Sardi's or something like that?
Yeah, that is one where I swear people think they're going to be discovered.
100%. I used to go there for, they had like a rock band karaoke night. And where you could play rock band and sing.
Okay,
so
that I might be okay.
Right?
With.
Yeah. It sounded, I was like, okay, so this is a nice medium where you could still get up and have your time to shine, but you don't necessarily feel like you have the pressure of, oh my God, what if I get discovered? I think it, because it happened to a couple of people like in the 80s maybe or the 90s, like a couple of child stars were discovered at some karaoke bar in Burbank. Now everybody goes there.
Yeah, exactly.
So hi, welcome to the show, Katie.
Hello, hello.
Do you prefer Katie, Catherine,
Katie? Katie is, yeah. Yeah, my real name's Kathleen, and it's still at doctor's offices, and they constantly have to be like, Kathleen? Kathleen. Oh, that's me.
Oh, that's my name. They're talking about me. What are you going to the doctor for? Why are you sick? No. Just kidding.
I actually need to go to the doctor, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's all about the kids' appointments. It's not about me
anymore.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes.
I'm like, when did I last go to the doctor?
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, too. I was like, I'm getting to be of a certain age, if you will. And I'm like, I should probably go have my business checked out.
Yeah,
like
it's I been need a while. To as well. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I just feel like since I became a mom, I just don't care anymore. I'm like, whatever, everything's fine. I'm just surviving.
There is a doctor on wheels at our lot. And I went to them last time I was sick. And I was like, this
like
is...
Like in a mobile van?
In a mobile van. Oh. And it was pretty much perfect for me. And so I asked her, I was like, do you do everything here? And she's like, yep, we'll do all exams. I'm like, you might be my new doctor. And she's
what?
Like, some women are not okay with like the, you know, the women's exam here. I'm like, I don't care. It's about 30 feet from my office.
That's amazing. So it's like a mobile doctor's office on the studio lot.
And it's UCLA doctors.
How interesting. Why do they do that on the lot? Because I feel like, honestly, people who work on a movie lot probably have access to medical care.
I think because we have no time, because we all work just so many hours. Yeah. So it just simplifies it. They come to you and you can get your flu shot,
that
you can get your physical, all of that good stuff.
That's
cholesterol checked.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a long line when I was there too. It was pretty incredible.
I was like, for earlier this year, I don't know if you saw, but I was like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get healthy. And Heather came with me to go tap dancing. And I was like, I can do it. And then I met my goal and I was like, fuck, I just want to eat. And I just literally was like, ah, rah, rah, rah. I turned into a total cookie monster and I've completely slacked off. And now I feel really bad because I set out this goal and was like, I'm going to do it. And now I've just destroyed it again. It's a constant struggle.
My second daughter had all these crazy allergies when she was born. I don't know if Heather told you. And she at 6 weeks, she was, this is kind of personal, she was pooping blood. Not
oh,
good.
Oh, dear, yeah.
And so they're like, she's allergic to something, but we don't know what it is. So you have
food?
Two options.
Were they thinking food. It was food, really?
It's food. And they're like, you've got two options at 6 weeks. We had to go to specialists. They're like, you can either decide that you'll breastfeed for a year and like be dedicated to it now, and we're going to give you some foods you can't eat. Or we can switch this super expensive formula.
Yeah.
But you have to switch early because they hate it so much that if you try to switch it like 4 months, they're going to go on a hunger strike.
Whoa.
I was like, oh, well, let me see the formula. It was super expensive.
Yeah,
and so
I'm
I was
sure.
Like, you know, I'll try to dedicate. What can I not eat?
Yeah.
And so that told me no wheat, no eggs, no dairy, no soy, no nuts, no fish, and no corn, and no derivatives for 4 to 5 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And then after that, it was no wheat, no dairy.
Do they think she had a gluten sensitivity?
Because she's so young and they couldn't test it 6 weeks, they're like, the best thing is just to rule everything out, and that'll be her best way of growing out of it.
Whoa.
And then we'll slowly seed some stuff back in at like 6 months, then 9 months, then a year. And now she's like 14 months, and it's dairy and eggs.
We can't do dairy either. Yeah. She can do eggs, but she can't do like regular milk. Channing can't have regular milk, or like she can have a little bit of cheese. Like if I put a little cheese on like a hamburger or
same
something,
with us. Small amounts.
Small amounts,
large
but
amounts
otherwise,
not so good.
Forget about it. It's epic poops for days.
Exactly.
And I have found it's been a real challenge to avoid. anything snack related, because you have Cheez-Its, you have cheesy crackers, Goldfish have powdered cheese on them. So I used to not be able to give her any of that stuff. I can give her a little bit now, but...
Oh, I never thought about the whole Goldfish situation.
Yeah, Goldfish.
I give her Goldfish all the time.
Yeah, huh. I know. You have to like think everything has some kind of milk product something in it, and finding healthy snacks for a child with any kind of dairy sensitivity is ridiculous, because people just hand their kids string cheese.
Yeah.
Channing is also has an allergy to bananas. And I'm like, really? You couldn't have picked the two easiest snacks ever. But like, bananas make her face bright red and she gets a big rash on her butt.
Oh my gosh.
And the doctor was like, she'll probably outgrow it by the time she's like 5 or 6. And I was like, perfect.
Oh.
So no bananas and no like straight up cheese or milk. Gosh. So we do rice milk.
I went for that whole time without eating those foods, and I lost so much weight and was like, this is a nice little byproduct of this.
Oh, interesting.
But then as soon as I could eat it, it was like, give me gummy candies. I couldn't have gummy candies because there's corn in it and corn syrup, and I couldn't have anything with corn syrup in it.
But you know what though? That's really interesting. What a great testament to that kind of dieting and that kind of eating.
Yeah, I was not working out at all. So now I'm working out and, you know, eating gummy foods.
Oh, that's fascinating. And all, just give me all the gummy foods.
There was about a month period where I was like, ice cream and cheese and this and that. But I kept making myself sick because I hadn't had it for so long. I had given myself an allergy practically. But I do credit my younger daughter for probably saving our lives, because now I make food.
Yeah.
And everything's a little bit healthier in our house.
Do you find you have time to cook? Are you a mom that is...
I am now a meal planner as much as possible. Like, that's like my only way to get it through, is I have to meal plan in advance, especially if I can do it on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'm not like the crazy one that has like their entire kitchen counter and everything's like in those beautiful
little bento box containers.
Oh, if I could be one of those people, I'd be
amazing. I love the idea of it.
I look at
my Pinterest, and I'm on Pinterest. F everybody who says, you know, they don't like Pinterest. I'm on it. I think it's great. I can't do any of it, but I think it's great for people who do.
I'm on it, and I'm often a Pinterest fail mom. Like, because I'm one of those moms that I'm like, I'm totally going to do this. This looks amazing. It's 3 easy steps and 7 ingredients. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
And then I look at it, I'm like, yeah, that's a Pinterest fail.
There's lots of things that I've done like that too, where I'm like, oh man. I applaud the women who can do Pinteresty things.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
I personally don't think I have the time to be the ideal Pinterest mom at this moment.
Well, I think that the women who are Pinterest really good at Pinterest, like, that's what they do. That's what they're good at. They set up their photo shoots for their pre and post and during Pinterest process, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about your job.
Yes.
You are in publicity.
I am.
For CBS.
Correct.
So what shows do you work on first?
So I currently work on NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans, and this upcoming comedy called The Great Indoors.
Why are there so many NCISs?
Because we're amazing. I've been on the original. I'm going into my 12th season on that show. The show is going into its 14th, but it'll be its 12th. And, you know, obviously if we knew exactly what made NCIS the perfection that it is and so popular, we would put that onto every show, but it's just not possible. I think from all my years, I really do feel like America and actor audiences worldwide, they like to have something that has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, our good guys win. We have a bad guy in the beginning, and in the end, the good guys win.
Right.
And I think there's something about that at the end of the day, you love to just see it. And it just kind of sends you to bed on a happy note.
Yeah.
And we've also created these, we always call them our families, but the agents are these incredible families that you kind of get to know over the years. And our writers do such a great job of... slowly seeding these little character traits and backstories that really draw people in and keep them coming back. And
so it's the stories behind the main story that people are enjoying.
Yeah, people love the B story, especially like the love elements.
Oh yes.
With the bromances, when it's the close friendships. But and then they just love the case, the simplicity of the fact that there will be an answer at the end.
Yeah. I want to ask you, because most people, when they move out to Los Angeles, they have stars in their eyes. They want to be an actor. They want to be on the TV, on the big screen. Was that your plan when you moved out to LA? Or we, no. Have you always wanted to be in publicity?
I actually, ironically, I was a theater minor, mm-hmm. And I have done acting, and I loved it. But there was some point in college when I realized I did not have the drive to experience failure over and over again, which I think you have to have the ability as an actress to know that many times, one, you're going to be judged. It's the nature of the business. Somebody's going to judge you. And then you're also going to experience a lot of failure, whether you're successful or not, because you're always going to be going out for roles that you're not going to get, that you're going to, you need to set your sights on and get excited for.
Yeah.
Something clicked in college where I was like, I don't know that I have that in me. Like, I want success early on. And so that's when I started looking at careers that I could work alongside Hollywood and be a part of it. But I wanted to find my own path of success that wasn't necessarily acting. But I did major in PR. I found public relations.
Yeah.
I didn't know it existed to what I'm doing now because I went to school in Washington and there was not a lot of focus on entertainment PR. It was mostly healthcare and tech related.
It wasn't, for a second I was thinking Washington, D.C. I was like, it wasn't politics?
No,
what do you mean? I was like, that's weird. No one talks about healthcare there.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me because whenever somebody says they moved to LA and they're not doing something that's acting, I'm always like, come on now. Why wouldn't you want to be an actor? Everybody wants to be an actor. But I love that there are people who have found their passion and their talents in other areas and they're not all trying to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I love how a television publicist, what I do now is so different than what I did 5 years ago.
Really?
It's just constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that I'm reading scripts every single week and I'm getting them in advance. And for the shows that I've got these long-term relationships on, we're actually working really closely with the executive producers and we have a relationship with the writers. And
that's so cool.
You know, sometimes casting will even say, like, what do you think of this person? Like, you just really become involved in the brand
that show. That's so interesting. Why do they have you read the scripts? Or is it so you can, like, promote
a
storyline?
I will read a script the second it comes out or I'll go to a table read.
Okay.
In both. I mean, typically by the time an episode films, I've read the script at least once, sometimes three times, depending on what's happening in the script, because I want to make sure I fully understand it. If it's something we're getting a lot of press on, I'll read the script three times to make sure I know it. But we read it to isolate what day should we send a photographer to go cover scenes. What time should we send like Entertainment Tonight to come? Is there something that Entertainment Tonight would want to come? What about EW? Is there something we could do with BuzzFeed here?
Or Motherhood in Hollywood?
Or
whatever.
That's
so interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So we're isolating all those things. We also might be pinpointing like, there's such this fun social element that's coming up in this episode. Let's talk to so and so actor to make sure that while they're filming, like, let's just say randomly one of the actors is going undercover and will be trying on 15 different outfits to figure out which undercover one they should wear. Well, we may say, while you're filming that, take a whole bunch of selfies of you're doing it, and then we'll turn that into a social element.
Do you do the social for the actors, or do most of the actors on the shows do their own?
All of my actors do their own social, but we'll help provide assets and like talking points for it. So we'll say like, hey, you know, you're fine to do this. Do you want this? Well, we have this photo of you.
Yeah.
Here's an exclusive clip. Here's a promo. So we'll give them things that we know that they like. And we'll also warn them of, don't tweet this, don't post this on Instagram, this is a spoiler. So we'll guide them, but they all do it on their own.
How interesting. I'm just fascinated by all of this because I think as an actor, for me anyway, at the level I'm at, I just walk in and I'm like, hope I get the part, go in, if I get it, I say my couple of lines and then I go. Nobody from publicity gives a rat's patoot about talking to me. They're like, who's this bitch? So I think that's so interesting. Once the actors become regulars and they get to that certain level, that you really have to become, like, handhold them a little bit and become close to them in order to help them get the word out about the show and publicity and all of that.
But even the level you're in right now, it's always good to have a social footprint and to be aware that people like the publicist and the casting directors, like when someone is coming up for a role, we will search your name right away to see what comes up and to see if there are certain strengths in your social channels.
Even for like a really small role?
If you have a role, if it's probably under five lines, then no.
Okay.
But if you, let's say if you were cast on one of my shows playing a mom and I was like, oh, She was Motherhood in Hollywood. We should see if we could give her a clip or a little tidbit of when she's on the scene
to help promote. Oh,
and
that's
have her
a
put
good
in
idea.
In that week's podcast. So if it's a little bit larger of a role, that we'll look.
Do you think that that is the norm for most shows, or do you think that's specifically what you guys do at CBS for your shows?
I think that's what's becoming more and more the norm is that social media has become such a beast.
It's huge.
That I think we're becoming more and more aware of what someone's footprint is and how we can utilize that to reach a new fan base.
I have been talking about this on my show for such a long time. In telling people, everybody I have on, we talk about your social media presence, your online presence, creating a web series, getting out there, creating something online to say, especially as an actor, hey, look, I'm working, I have fans, I have followers, I have an influence of sorts in order to make yourselves more appealing to like producers and directors. But one thing I never thought about is publicity. The PR team, who's also probably looking at that and going, hey, this Heather chick, you know, has a great following of, you know, whatever. That's so interesting to me. I know I've said interesting like 500 times, but I'm just fascinated with this. I've been really looking forward to having you come over so I could ask you all of my publicity questions. So let me ask you then, when do you think an actor needs to get a publicist?
I think it varies per actor. They're expensive. So yeah. I always warn my actors, be cautious about hiring someone too early because it is a lot of money. If you're coming on to a show as a recurring guest star and it's going to be a nice storyline, then you may want to have someone for that if it's going to be something solid. But generally, you're looking at a couple grand a month, and that's a lot to offset that.
You're talking about like what a personal publicist versus a studio publicist.
I'm a network publicist. So we come for free. and if you are, like, I tell everyone, like, there's publicists on every show that you're on, every film that you're on, all of that. So if you have a decent sized arc and you're passionate about it and you have social channels and you happen to see or hear about the publicist on set, because we are on set a fair amount, introduce yourself, say hi, let them know that you guys are active on social media and see if, like, you can obtain a photo from your role and you can promote it just because it gets yourself out there a little bit more and you never know, they may have something. But for my series regulars, it's kind of split. For the ones that I've worked with for a long time, obviously if they're number one in the call sheet, it's pretty much a given. They usually have a publicist. But number two, three, four, five, it's not always a given. If they are a female and can get booked doing a lot of kind of fashion spreads, it might be, or they want to go to events and get their name out there by like walking red carpets, then that might be worth it to have a personal publicist because they're going to pitch that. Whereas network and studio person, it's not always us. We will sometimes pick that up.
Yeah.
Like I oftentimes, like a couple of my actors have launched books and I've worked on their book campaigns because they don't have a personal, or they're doing a big charity event. We'll help work with that charity event.
Because
to get
ultimately
promotion.
Everything is good for the show, right? All the good publicity. Is
so
good
we'll
for
the keep
show.
Reaching further to as much as we can until we kind of run out of time.
So if an actor comes into this town and they're like, hey, I just did like this little short film, you know, do they need a publicist?
Probably not.
No.
You're going to first want someone that's going to get that short film into festivals.
Right.
You want to spend your money there.
Yeah.
Someone who can get that short film placed or get it on the right website. Your money's going to be better off spent.
And why do you think publicists are so expensive? Is it because of the doors they open and career? Because I personally think careers have been launched and set because they've had a good publicist.
People have good publicists. I think is when you time it just right. So you do become, let's say, a series regular. Let's take, for example, my new comedy, Great Indoors. I have a couple people on that show that are not as well known, but they're going to be on a CBS comedy that's following The Big Bang Theory.
Huge.
It's a hysterical comedy. This cast is so unbelievably
talented.
Joel McHale's in it. Stephen
Fry. So already it's going to be fantastic. I mean, I just know it's going to be great. Yeah. He's so great.
There's an actress that we have named Christine Coe that I already am like, everyone's going to know her name in like a year because this girl is so talented. So she now has a publicist, and it's a great time for her because she's beautiful, she's smart, she's funny. And so this will be a great time for her to kind of jump in, get as many like solo features as possible as well. Get in there and like, you know, Us Weekly, what's in my bag? Like do that kind of stuff that just brands That's you so a little funny bit more. Me.
Like, yeah, I don't even think about stuff like that because I think when you're reading, you know, Us Weekly, they're just like us. Most people don't know there's probably a publicist uh-huh. or somebody that was like, hey, you know.
It is seriously frightening. But if you think about it, a publicist is behind almost everything that you read or watch, mm-hmm. unless it is the weather or an act of God. But I mean, even like those little health news reports of like, oh, you know, this week we're spotlighting this shake to drink. That mm-hmm. was a publicist that pitched that shake.
Oh, 100%.
Like, everything is backed generally by a publicist. Occasionally a producer will see something on their own and be like, oh, I really like this thing, so let's do something on it. But a lot of times it's a publicist that's like, hey, guess what? I got something I want to talk to you about.
It's amazing the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes and what publicists can do. I'm going to get right back to this interview with Katie in just a moment, but I want to stop for a second and do a little publicity of my own. Hey, and talk to you guys about my sponsors, the people that are helping keep Motherhood in Hollywood going, and that is Up For Probiotics. If you can, take a minute, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up For Probiotics ad. It'll take you right to their site, and you can learn more about the super strain that Up For has trademarked. It has over 40 years of clinical research behind it, and it's one of the few strains studied to be beneficial for people of all ages. As a matter of fact, we've used the kids cubes for Channing, and they have an adult formula, a women's formula. They even have a senior formula for ages 55 and over. So if you're curious about digestive health and immunity support and those types of things, go to Up For Probiotics. Check it out. Also, hey, if when you're in your next Target trip, when you're on your next Target trip, head on over to the vitamin section. You'll find Up For there. What an easy way to pick up your probiotics and take them home and get started on creating a healthier inside. That's what Up For has been doing since 1979. Oh my God, that's so fat. And I think I know that. I think ultimately I know that. Just like I know everything the Kardashians do is 100% planned and prepared by mm-hmm. a very powerful publicist and PR team. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I forget sometimes when I'm just looking at my little magazine, you know, at the little blurbs or whatever like that, that was probably a publicist that pitched it to try mm-hmm. to get their client's name in, or even on every Entertainment
Tonight.
Sometimes
it's not a personal publicist. Sometimes it's, you know, that you'll see in the sections in some of the magazines of like who was seen at this restaurant or whatever.
Yes.
Sometimes then that's the restaurant publicist oh. who saw the person ate there and is pitching it.
Them.
So the restaurant's getting. It's like
who
it's not
can we
always
trust, Katie. There's, what can we trust?
The weatherman. that's
we can
about
trust
it.
That one. Oh my God, that's so amazing. I forget too. Like Fudge, in West Hollywood. They have a publicity team, a total PR
team.
They
did a great job.
Yeah, because they've got like celebrities coming in and out, and mm-hmm. they're always in like publications talking about who the latest celeb was that was eating lunch or whatever in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fascinating. So when you, let's say when you get a new actor that's on a show or kind of green, I don't want to say green because if they're, you know, on a network show, I'm hoping they're not that green.
Sometimes they are. Really, sometimes they are. Which I've had a couple of who
me.
Got really, you know, got lucky and wow. just got the right audition and they are talented and
what
and
do you
got
do
in there.
With these actors? Like, what is the one thing that you have to kind of coach them on the most when you're going down the red carpet? Because, you know, not everybody is as fabulous as I am down the red carpet. Although in reality, I would be a total dweeb. I would be standing there grinning from ear to ear with like my hands on my hips, cheerleader style. It would be so horrible.
I think on the red carpet, you know, have some ideas in your mind of what you want to talk about so you're not too long-winded, but don't plan it out so much that you don't have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people fail to have a conversation with the person that's standing right in front of them on the red carpet. And it's hard because those red carpets are generally hot.
Yeah.
They're crowded. You're honestly being pushed by people from behind, pushed by people from the left, right. People are the now with press. I mean, gosh, they jam so many of them into a red carpet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're kind of like, am I on your camera or is the press person next to you filming me? Because I honestly can't tell.
And sometimes a couple of outlets will be filming them at the same time
They
give a soundbite to the other, you know, outlet that they want to use.
And sometimes they have no signage on them. So you're like, I honestly have no clue what outlet I'm talking to.
And that's what you do, though. You can walk ahead of them and go, who are you with?
Who are you with? Who would you like to talk to?
Yeah.
Which is sometimes, I mean, I used to do red carpet press
a like lot it?
More often. I don't.
Thank you for your honesty.
I don't love red carpet press because it's extremely stressful. I understand the game that the producers are in. They, you know, they are trying to fill, if it's something like an Entertainment Tonight,
yeah,
you know, they're going to have like 3 minutes of content that they're trying to fill. And there's like, you know, 45 actors that are coming down. So you may have someone who you know and you love is going to be really offended if E.T. doesn't talk to them. Aww. But at the same time, you know that E.T. is not going to have room for them.
Exactly.
So it's like that battle of friendships. Like, you know, I know the actress and I want to help them, but I also know the E.T. producer. I don't want to waste their time. And I see that, you know, Johnny Depp is coming up behind me. Like, clearly that's what they're trying to go for. So
Johnny Depp trumps everyone. See, this is why I personally am fascinated with PR people who don't want to have their guests on my, or their clients on my show, because I'm offering, sometimes I'm like, hey, it's more than a 3 minute soundbite, mm-hmm. or it's more than a 2 minute segment. They can come on my show and really talk to their fans and tell us what they're all about.
They might be afraid that they'll hang themselves.
That's true too.
Because it is like some of them excel in 3 minutes, but would choke in an hour.
In an hour. See, that's another thing I didn't think about too. Part of it too is I think that probably because, you know, they ignore me because Motherhood in Hollywood is not a huge podcast, mm-hmm. and, you know, and they don't know me, and it would just maybe be a little weird. But,
and I think podcasts, as much as they are becoming, they're more becoming so, well known, they're still new, you know, they're mm-hmm. still, it's same with social media. Sometimes we'll do like, you know, takeovers and when we first did, we actually did something on for NCSLA on Instagram when people were like, Insta what? Like, it was incredible. Like, no one knew what Instagram was. It was right when they were starting, and we did this awesome campaign, and that cast is just, they're just incredible. Like, I can't say enough about that entire cast and crew and the producers. And so they were all gung-ho to do this, even though it was not something that was fully established. And we're like, look, this is something new. It's social media.
It's going to be huge.
It should be very successful. But even if it's not, like, that's the beauty of social media, is even if it's not successful, then what? It's like, it's a tree falling in the woods. You just don't hear anything. It's not like it's detrimental unless you say something offensive.
Right.
But for the most part, a non-successful social media thing is just something that didn't move the needle. That's it. You're not really wasting too much time or energy. It's just trying.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of been my kind of experiment too with this, is that there's some things I do where I'm like, I'm just going to put this out there. I'll put this like silly quote or this blog post or, you know, whatever out there and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't do anything and I get no traction on it. And then sometimes it really resonates with them. Like, I wrote about Kegels a few weeks ago because I seriously pee my pants all the time, and I'm like, no one tells you that before you have a baby that you will lose some of your bladder control.
It's so terrible. There's so many things nobody tells you.
No, there's so many things. So I was like, I had this story where I peed my pants and I wrote about it, and it, like, people were sharing it like crazy on my blog, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. You want to hear about my bladder problems? Maybe I'll write more about that. But that's why it's so interesting to me on this podcast, why some, there was actually a PR lady who was like, well, what's your reach? Because I had messaged her like about her client, and she was like, well, what's your reach? And I was like, well, it's this is this. I have a media kit. I sent her my media kit, and she was like, no, thanks. Just straight up was like, no, thanks. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. Like, it could be a really fun thing, but whatever. It's my own personal, like, insecurities coming out, I guess.
I'm, it's
like,
tough.
I'm fun. I'm really, it's a good time. But I see what you mean by maybe people are worried that their actors will say too much
or not maybe not their format, not their strength.
Yeah.
Because the goal is, when you have someone, is place them in the media where they have their most strength.
Mm-hmm.
And a podcast format is not great for everyone.
It's not. No, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
If you have someone who's not, I've had like one or two guests on here that were, and I won't say who, because I want everyone to download all my episodes, but that would literally, like, one or two answers to my questions, and I'm like, this is painful.
It's painful.
You're killing me. And then I start like nervous talking, and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be weird.
And you run out of questions.
And I run out of questions. What is the number one thing, the number one mistake you think actors are making when it comes to their own image?
Maybe not knowing, we all have our brand.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing what their brand is, because if you are faking it too much.
Oh.
You can only fake your own brand for so long. and you're going to have missteps.
For example, I'm sort of immersed in the mom world because mm-hmm. the name of my show is Motherhood in Hollywood, and I'm not a mommy blogger, but I kind of get lumped into that, which is great. I see a lot of moms who are like the perfect mom. Mm-hmm. Like, look how great and perfect and lovely my world is, and they never have any, you know, real moments, or their real moments are perfectly staged.
They're the Pinterest moms.
Or the Pinterest moms, yeah. All the Pinterest moms. So that to me is a brand that when you say faking it, that's what I think of, is people faking their brand.
And so I think I think we're all guilty of it with social media, sure. where we only post our positive. And right. I think sometimes that can happen too with when you're doing more media, is that you're going to eventually kind of have a conversation with someone, like a podcast. You're going to sit down and you're going to open up and you're going to have a conversation. And if for so long you've been really stuck to talking points and I'm going to be this person and this is how I'm going to portray myself, like almost acting you when press is not acting, it's you.
Yeah.
I think you can get in trouble there because then you're not being real. And I think the most successful people with media is that they show a little bit of who they are. You don't need to open up and say everything. You don't need to reveal right. every single like aspect. I mean, right. you can.
Right.
Some people
right.
will. But have a little bit of who you are as a real person come out in your publicity so that you have that one connection. Mm-hmm. And two, you can be more comfortable and enjoy it. Because as people see how comfortable you are, you're just going to open more doors and more opportunities. And
I think it probably makes them more appealing to fans. Who on your shows is really good at that?
Michael Weatherly.
Oh my God, he's so dreamy.
He's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. He never gives the same interview twice. Sometimes he can be a little wacky.
but that's
not
going to
lie.
Right?
It's great. It's great. So, and for a publicist, I mean, there have been times that the man has dropped his pants as like a funny quim. And when I say times, I mean numerous times. Easily to find it on a Google search.
Done. But I'll be right back.
He does a really great job of just talking to the person that's interviewing him mm-hmm. and giving them something that's different and showing a little bit of who he is. And it's made him very endearing to press and to fans alike. They enjoy him. And, you know, he's no longer on NCIS this next mm-hmm. year. We just had his finale in May, but he's going to be starring in Bull. So I'm so happy for him because
you
of that.
He just got burnt out. And was like, God, this is a long time.
For NCIS, I think, I mean, he was on for 13 years. Yeah, that's a long time. And I think he was ready to kind of have his own project.
Yeah, in actor land, like, God, a 13-year job is unheard of.
But he was incredible because there was lots of open communication. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, the typical, like, contract war type of situation. Another person that I have that's really good is LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
He's phenomenal when it comes to
I was hoping you'd say
to press
he
and
seems
to fans.
Like he would be just so genuine and fun and kind. And
he is. And if there's like a line of fans when we're filming that are wanting to take pictures with him, he will. I mean, we're filming
he's
and
a legend.
He'll find a way to take pictures. And he always says, you know, they may be like, you know, whatever number fan that I've taken a picture with, but what if I'm like, I'm the first celebrity they've taken a photo with. I want it to be a good experience for them. I want them to walk away happy. Mm-hmm. And he does a really good job of also inspiring people like within 5 seconds of meeting him.
Now, is this a PR pitch or is this real?
Me? Yeah. Oh, me? Oh, no, this is real. This is just me talking.
I'm like, you can tell me if they're not really that way. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I wouldn't bring up someone because I wouldn't be able to fake it.
Be like, anyway.
I'd be like, moving on.
Next question.
And then.
I love to hear that, though. That's great.
Yeah, and then for my females, Danielle Rue is really great mm-hmm. from NCIS Los Angeles.
Yeah.
She's also real. She's a mom. She's about to have her second girl as
Yay.
Well. And she's a lot of fun, too.
And hopefully she can come on the show. I know we talked about that a little bit. Hopefully. I know she's. You guys have crazy schedules, but hopefully we can make
well,
it
Well, and she's back tomorrow. They start filming tomorrow. So she's was in Portugal and then on vacation. And so
do you get a break too when everything slows down?
This year I didn't because I went straight from when we wrap finales. Like a week later, I ended up helping out on Survivor. And so I went out to Fiji and helped them with press on location.
That's so horrible.
There.
Your job has been really tough.
And the hardest part of that is everyone's always like, how was vacation? I'm
I
was working. I was basically like, because when we go for Survivor, it's like half PR, half Cap Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're with press, but we're also like orchestrating like, okay, meals will be at this time, travel will be at this time because we have to travel to locations every day. This is what's going to happen. So I got to make sure I've got sunscreen and these medicines with us, and always be prepared, and Band-Aids. And
hey, but do you typically have to leave? You don't have to go leave LA very often though, right?
I do probably, because I have NCIS New Orleans, which films in New Orleans.
Oh yeah.
And then I haven't gone to New York now, amazingly, in 2 years because of my youngest. But mm-hmm. I usually will go to New York at least once a year too.
And how is that leaving the girls?
Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
And it's tough when I'm working, when I'm gone, it's fine, because when I'm working, I'm like in it and I'm
busy.
Like, I'm focused on the job.
Yeah.
When I go home to the hotel at night, like in a just go to bed by myself, like there's part of me that's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get 8 hours of sleep. That's uninterrupted. there's oh one part gosh, of it
that sounds magical.
It's honestly the hardest part about being a parent, I think, is going to bed at night and knowing like I may or may not sleep through the night tonight because some human might need me in the middle of the night.
I know.
And that is tough, like getting used to the fact that you just never know how long you'll be sleeping for in life. So when you're on a business trip, that is a nice side. But it's hard because there's a lot of prep before. And then when I come back from a business trip, there's always a ton more work for my other shows while I was gone that I have to pick up. But then I also really want to have that extra family time because I was away from them. So it's finding that right balance. Which is a struggle.
Yeah, and I think that's another unique perspective, and also one of the reasons why I'm so glad you're here, is because you don't think about the moms who are in different aspects of this industry. So often, as actors, we're so focused on the celebrity moms, your Chrissy Teigens and, you know, Fergie and their ridiculous video. Did you see that video, by the way?
Yeah.
MILF. I was like, come on. Really? And part of me, I was like, I kind of want to like it, but it's also kind of creeps, skeeves me out a little bit, because I can't imagine some like 15-year-olds in the car like, MILF money, you know, like, or like some old guy. And I don't know. It just gives me the skeevies a little bit. But yeah, we're all MILFy, right? We're all sexy, hot moms.
Always.
Always. I just forgot what I was talking about. I totally got distracted by the MILF money.
Moms behind the scenes.
Yeah, moms behind the scenes. So you forget sometimes that there's producers who are moms. There's publicists. There's mm-hmm. There's parents in every aspect of this town, even though sometimes it may not feel
the
like
the pumping
it.
Was the worst. Like that. Now that I'm
did
not,
they have a room for you?
When I was in my office, but when I'm in production, I'm usually on set at least a couple times a week, and so I'm sitting there on like a soundstage pumping in the bathroom. And and Cicely was the best because Danielle Ruiz got kids, so she would always just open her trailer to me.
Oh, that's nice.
But like the Grammys this year, I missed Adele's performance because I was like two stories up in like a random bathroom pumping. And I remember just sitting there, and I had friends texting me going, I can't believe you're listening to Adele right now. And I'm like, I'm actually can't even hear her in this bathroom, so I'm missing it completely.
But see, but that's the sacrifice that we make as moms. Like, we have to miss Adele, which is like really heartbreaking. Like, that would totally
it was heartbreaking.
I'm so excited. We're gonna go to her concert. We got tickets to the LA show coming up in August, so I'm super excited for that. But it speaks very highly of you as a mom to be like, all right, Adele, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to miss you because I got to feed my baby, or I got to pump the milk. Did you have to pump and dump probably, or did you have a...
No, I because this one had allergies, and because I decided, okay, I'll be dedicated and do a year, I had to do that year.
Yeah.
And so I had to carry like a cooler with me and a pump with me everywhere I went. So that went with me on business trips. That went with... I was so excited. I almost went office space on my breast pump when I finished because I was like, I never want to see this machine ever again. I mean, I made it to a year. I was proud, but.
Yeah. And that's that was my goal too. When I had Chan, I set a year. I know some of my friends were like, I'm going to go till they're 4. And I'm like, good for you. That's weird, but good for you.
I could have gone longer if I didn't have to pump. It's the pumping that was terrible. And like the, we've got a 4 business meetings scheduled back to back.
It's because
I'm
going to
be in pain for 2 of those.
Yeah. It's because you're stuck like sitting down. I mean, yeah, you could do like your emails and stuff like that, but also then, you know, your boobs start to swell and you start leaking after a while. And yeah, there's so many fun things that come along with being
fun
a breastfeeding mom. But I think that's great. I think it's great that you put a priority on that and you were like, this is what I'm going to do for my baby.
Yeah.
And you found a way to make it work.
Yeah. And now I try to help people because it's really easy in this industry to just be like, it's just so hard. It's so impossible. And so now I really
try
to.
And then they just give up.
And they give up. And I'm like, you know, I was that way kind of with my first. Mm-hmm. I had to go for upfronts when she was 6 months old, and that slowed everything down. And then, you know, I started supplementing, and then by 9 months I just didn't have anything left because I kind of let myself not have anything left because I was like, oh, it's because I'm working and the work is so crazy. But with this one, I was stuck. I had no option. And now I really try to help people, like give them certain tips to help get them
through. That's great. I love that you do that. Cause I'm in an actors group online and there's lots of posts where moms will go, I booked this job on set and how do I ask the production team for a place to pump, or how do I approach them about, you know, finding a place to go and pump for a little bit or feed my kid or whatever. And it's a conversation I'm glad we're finally having. Mm-hmm, more mm-hmm. and more moms are coming out and not being afraid to ask.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that we forget as moms is that it's something like, 70% of people have children.
Yeah.
And so you're more in the norm than you realize. Mm-hmm. And you'd be amazed, even a lot of the guys are so supportive of like, oh, sure, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to ask that question.
It is.
And to find that space. But traditionally, people will help you.
Yeah. What's funny is that 30% seems very vocal in LA.
Very vocal.
Like, ew, kids. Like, we've been out to restaurants before where people will get up and move away from us if they see we bring our toddler, our little, you know, when she was a baby. We actually had a couple physically get up and move away from us. They're like, we don't want to be seated by children. I'm like, she's asleep. She's not even doing anything. She's literally just sitting here. And we are human people. We needed to get out of our house.
Exactly.
People get really like offended. Like, how dare you shove your child in my face?
Yeah, that's it's a really odd so prejudice. So weird.
When do you think Heather and Mark are going to have kids?
Heather's going to love this.
I only say that because I know right now she's probably screaming, oh my God.
she's like, how dare you?
Katie and I have a really good friend named Heather, and she just got engaged to her boyfriend, Mark. They've been living in sin long enough. It's about time he made an honest woman out of her. But I'm so excited for them. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I hope soon. I think they'd be great parents. She's so good.
She told me, like, she's like, we're going to do a fall wedding maybe next year. And I was like, what? No pressure, but what? You're going to be engaged for a year and a half?
She told me last night that they're now thinking that's too long, so maybe spring next year.
I might have been my pressure. It might have been because I was like,
forever.
You're going to be 40. Maybe you should. And she's like, I'm not going to be
We should just take over planning. Let's just get all of it and start planning at ourselves.
I would do it. I don't think she would. I don't think she would mind.
I also got married really young, so I'm like, man, I would.
How old were you?
I was 25.
Me too.
Oh, see?
When's your anniversary?
July 31st.
Okay.
So it'll be
15 years? No. Oh. How old are you? You're probably younger than you're
I am
a lot younger than me.
36.
Okay, so you're a lot younger than me.
So it'll be 11 years this July.
We just celebrated 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old. It's happening. It's happening. We've been together for 18 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we were together for 5 before we got married.
Wow.
So about the same.
Yeah.
16 years. So I'm like, oh, I would have done things so differently. Oh, I'll help you plan.
Yeah, I'm like, I've got some suggestions. She showed me her colors the other day and I was like, I approve.
Yes, me too.
Did you see them? Yes. Were you like, these are fine?
These are so fun.
I love it though. Heather, we're excited for you. I know she's listening right now. She also tried to tell me, when Katie comes on, you should ask her about this, this, and this. And I was like, bitch, don't tell me what questions to ask. I've been reporter for years, and I've been doing like 100 of these podcasts. And she was like, I just want to help. And she's so funny.
Heather and I, so we both moved down to LA. Mm-hmm. I moved a couple months before, but I'm the one who got our apartment.
Yeah.
And it was my now husband, but then boyfriend, and Heather and I in a 2-bedroom place. Because we had no money coming from Washington. Mm-hmm. We'd gone from our school, our rent was $250 a month. Mm-hmm. And then we get down here, we're like,
oh my gosh, this is so expensive.
So expensive.
$250 a month. God, those were the good old days.
So good. So nice.
Everyone stay in college as long as you can.
Especially small town college. Like, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, I think ours was like $300 and I split it with another girl and we had a great apartment right across the street from campus. It was perfect.
So perfect. And nice and big. And then you get down here and you're like, oh gosh,
we've got
cockroaches and whatever. But we used to laugh so hard because there were so many events that we both worked at, but had such different experiences. Like the first year we both worked the Emmys, but I was working the Emmys as a special events publicist and she was working the Emmys as a cater waiter. Mm-hmm. And so we'd come home around the same time of night and she's like, oh my gosh, that was just the worst night of my life. I'm covered in food. They made us walk like 12 blocks in a scary neighborhood. And she's like, how was your night? I'm like, oh, you don't want to know.
You're like, yeah, mine was bad.
Mine was awesome. So we used to joke about writing our own like series based on like these two girls that came from Washington and had such different experiences.
You guys should. Is that something you ever want to do? Do you ever want to write anything or get into that? I mean, if you're reading all these scripts.
I have so many ideas in my head. Yeah. And I love reading scripts.
I can imagine that would probably, especially if you were a theater major and like had that kind of in your system, that would kind of spark some creativity a little bit.
Yeah. I could see that, you know, when I don't have two children on each leg.
And a full-time job. Babysitting actors. Oh, my God.
But I could see that down the line for sure. I still feel I have another career ahead of me. It's probably in publicity of some form, but I don't know what type of company. I don't know. I just know there's another one in me as well.
Isn't that interesting? Because I feel like I'm at the verge now, and honestly, this podcast has been a huge impetus in this. I'm on the verge now of going, I need to do something else maybe to help, maybe not necessarily help my career along, but find another way to make money or find another way to get my creative side on, whether it's in writing or, you know, something else. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling like going out and auditioning for these 1 and 2 line parts every week and then not getting them or, you know, whatever. It's frustrating. It starts to wear on your soul after a while and you start going, fuck, do I want to be 60 years old and still hoping I get a 2-line part, you know? So props to those actors who can do that. But for me, I'm at the point where I'm like, there's got to be something more in this business.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out what that is.
And I think it's that age too.
Yeah.
My husband is 41 and he was a teacher and he's leaving teaching this year. He's going to actually stay home with our kids, which is, I'm like, oh, I don't have to do drop off in the morning because we don't have a nanny. We somehow do this with daycare.
That's amazing.
And I'm so excited, but he's hoping to get into like voiceover work and audiobook narration. But he's looking for a new creative outlet just because he feels like he's like, you just gotta to be feel, more. Yeah. I gotta be. And he was a theater major.
Yeah.
So he's looking for something different as well.
I totally understand that. I feel you, Sean. okay, so I think, and I know, I think, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. I started to say, I think you're on Twitter, but I know you're on Twitter. Yes. I just realized today, though, I was like, I'm not following her on the Twitter, but I've corrected that situation.
Thank you.
Where can people find you so they can keep up to date with all of the things you're promoting?
At Katie Barker PR is my Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I just recently switched the name.
Okay, you did.
I signed up for Twitter. I don't even know when. So long ago when it was first. Cause as PR, as publicists, we try to get into things as quickly as possible that people are talking about.
Yeah.
And
are you on Periscope?
I'm not.
Are you
Periscope.
Doing Facebook Live? Those are the hot things.
But I do Facebook Live, but I don't do it myself. I do it like I'll do it for my show handles. Mm-hmm. I am on Snapchat, but I have never felt so old in my entire life.
I know, my God, me too. I have people who are Snapchatting like 100 times a day, and I'm like, I just feel like I'm talking to myself. I mean, you know, it's fun, but at the same time, it makes me feel really old.
Yeah, I go and play with like the filters sometimes, but I think I've maybe posted like 3 things. Like, I just don't even know. Really
Channing loves the filters. She'll call it Faces, and she loves to do it.
So does my 3.5-year-old. I mean, like, that honestly is just
that should probably be very telling right there. That it's like the little kids love it, and then grown-ass adults are like doing it all the time.
What am I doing? What's
happening?
What
am I doing with my time?
What just happened? just even the fact that you have to like hold the screen to even get the filters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was swiping it over and over again. Like, where are the filters?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah.
But so Twitter is one that I have my largest audience on. Mm-hmm. Just because I got into it early, and so I originally was K Barker Tweets, and because I was like, I don't know what this is, and then as I did it longer, I was like, well, now there's all these other social media things, so I shouldn't be tweets, I should be something more generic. So
yeah,
I switched it to Katie Barker PR,
and that's where you go and you promote all the shows and all that things your actors are doing.
For Twitter, I try to keep it kind of mostly professional, and that's when I'm doing a lot of like my, you know, if I have breaking news that we're releasing, if I've got behind the scenes photos, I'll drop it on there. Instagram was like a mix of both. I'll do stuff for work, and then I also have like my girls on there as well. And then Facebook tends to just be just personal.
Do you find that you kind of keep your girls a little more?
You know, private? It's so funny. I used to, and we had a stalker that was like attacking the CBS publicist for a little while.
Are you serious?
And it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I ever was like, because they were the person was using our names. And for some while got fixated on me. And I honestly got totally freaked out because I'd posted so many photos of my daughter on there. And then I kind of came full circle and was like, sad to say, if someone really wanted to find a picture of my daughter, it's not that hard because it's not like unless you have a rule where you're not going to post
anything, yeah,
then they're going to be able to find it. So I just kind of gave in a little bit. And I still kind of post photos. I don't have my Gia filter on.
Yeah, I make Chris turn that off because he'll be like, we're at this park with this. And yeah. I'm like, stop doing that. That's so dangerous.
Yeah, I turned my Gia filter off because I figured that was kind of one way. I mean, obviously, I'm at a lot of events where I'm like, come see us tonight at Paley Fest or like whatever it is that we're going to. So I do promote my events on there, but I just don't want to accidentally like put my home address on there.
Right, totally.
But again, I mean, people who are smart on they can find out whatever they want to. Oh,
that's so terrifying.
And so it is like a fear and it's a little scary, but it's the world that we live in. We just have to teach our children to be a little bit more cautious.
Downside of social media.
It's definitely the downside of social media.
But actors should still be on it. Everybody should still be working it, like finding their brand.
Yeah.
Finding out, you know, like they're not fans. I feel so douchey saying fans, but like followers, engage. People want to engage.
And also just creating like that little glimpse of who you are. Like whenever we get a new cast, the first thing I do is look at all their social and kind of figure out like, oh, I'm seeing someone, they're hiking and surfing. Oh, I should totally pitch like an outdoorsy thing for them. So before I've even talked to them, I have an idea of things that I want to like pitch for them. Like, oh, I've talked to Outdoor Magazine and I think we should do something about like surfing on your breaks from set.
That's so cool. It's so cool. You think of things in terms of like, how can I promote this?
Yeah. And I also even ask read vlogs, read websites, read newspapers, and have your favorites. Because I usually will ask my actors, like, what do you like to read? Where are you going to get information? Because that's where I'll try to get them covered first.
Yeah.
Because then they're more comfortable with those outlets, and it's something that they're passionate behind because they're reading it and they think it's of value. And so it's a nice kind of way to start that relationship with them.
Yeah. You've given me so much to think about, and I know I'm probably gonna have like 1,000 more questions once we stop recording.
We could do follow up.
Oh yeah, we'll do follow
up. Part two.
We'll do off mic follow up. But really, thank you so much for coming by taking the time to be on my show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Everybody, if you get a chance, go to Twitter, follow me at MIH Podcast, and also make sure you go and click like on my Facebook page, Motherhood in Hollywood. And you can follow me on Instagram, of course, also at Motherhood in Hollywood. I hope you guys are having an amazing week. Remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.